Today, your car has depreciated $1,000. You're all wearing last year's styles. Sorry about that. The reality is, in 1859, Charles Dickens published a book entitled Tale of Two Cities. And the book opens with a sentence that feels eerily apropos in describing this past year. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of reason. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. And we had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct to the other way. It would be all too easy after this past year to just focus on the worst of times part of that famous quote. I mean, 2016 has given us what some historians would say is the least qualified president in history. It killed Princess Leia and her mom and the actor who played R2-D2, not to mention David Bowie, Prince, the voice of Bugs Bunny, To Kill a Mockingbird, Arthur Harper Lee, Nancy Reagan, Patty Duke, Merle Haggard, Morley Safer, Muhammad Ali, Gwynne Ifill, Leonard Cohen, and even the guy who invented the red Solo cup. One headline called 2016 the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad year. I mean, think about it. The corporate elite strengthened their grip on the U.S. government. As police have become more and more militarized, we've seen police killings of unarmed citizens, particularly black males, on the rise. The First Amendment was challenged with free speech zones at certain protests. We've all seen an increase in hate crimes and public displays of racism rise as well. Water conditions in Flint, Michigan, and the deplorable way that the government agencies have handled the Dakota Access Pipeline protests have made it clear, if it wasn't clear already, that in the U.S., corporate interests fully outweigh concerns for citizens and environment. From Brussels to Bastille Day in France, terrorism is on the rise. Even in the U.S., flooding and forest fires took many people's livelihoods and some people's lives. Genocide continues in places like Aleppo. And we've made progress. While we have made progress on the hunger front, there's still 21,000 people who die every day from a lack of food or food-related issues. And that's honestly just the tip of the iceberg. So yeah, it does indeed sound a bit like a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad year. But as I mentioned a few weeks ago in my message about joy, we humans have this built-in negativity bias. That is, we tend to overstate negative things that we experience in life. So let's just take a minute or two and review some of the good things that happened in 2016. Could at least some of it have been the best of times. There's finally peace in Colombia. In South Korea, nonviolent protests helped impeach a president. Gambia voted out a dictator. A pope and a Russian Orthodox patriarch met for the first time in over 1,000 years. And believe it or not, there's actually signs that the ozone hole over the Antarctic may be starting to heal a little. India planted 50 million trees in one day. Norway banned deforestation. Paris Agreement that limits global warming became international law. The U.S. high school graduation rates are higher than they have ever been. Teen birth rate continues to fall. The unemployment rate is the best it's ever been in 10 years. And believe it or not, we gave more to charity than ever before in 2016. Researchers have found new genes that may help cure ALS, and they've made great headway in creating a new HIV vaccine. The death penalty is now illegal in more than half of the world. 300 African communities, 300, pledged to end all female genital mutilation. And miracle of all miracles, the Cubbies won a World Series. So no. I guess it wasn't just a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad year. Parts of 2016 were actually quite remarkable. I guess it just points to how important it is to keep things in perspective. After all, we human beings have appeared on this stage transiently, and we do our bit part and move to the wings to make room for others. The events of this past year may seem somewhat monumental to us, but to God, to the universe, they are just the blink of an eye. Most of the events are the result of us, we humans, living life out of a human perspective. The same perspective that sees all of these events of the past year as monumental. I can't help but wonder how much better it might be if we at least attempted on a consistent basis to live life from a more theological perspective. A perspective that recognizes we are here only transiently and that our big events in life are just the flutter of the universe's eye. You see, done right, theology strongly influences our behavior. Particularly from observations over this past political year, I believe that most Americans lead lives that are rather the inverse of that statement. Rather than living life in a way where theology controls our behavior, we live life in a way where our behavior controls our theology. We tend to do what we like, what we feel is right, or even what we want to be right, and then just justify our actions. Now, sometimes we justify our actions by proof texting our religious scripture. Sometimes we simply convince ourselves that what we did served some indistinct higher good. And other times we simply stand on our own good judgment for our actions. No matter how we do it, if we're going to use a religious text, but we don't start with that religious text, we're simply letting our behavior control our theology. We're doing something and justifying it by saying it's how or what our higher power would want rather than discovering what our faith would want of us and letting that guide our actions. Now, as luck would have it, the core theology of most religions is very similar and a very good guide for how we could be behaving on our short trip we call life. They certainly are not essential to living a good life, but they can be very helpful. In Christianity, the words of Jesus tells us, "In everything you do, do to others as you would have them do to you." Zoroastrianism tells us, "Do not do unto others whatever is injurious to you." In Islam, the Prophet Muhammad says, "Not one of you truly believes until you wish for others what you wish for yourself." Buddhism tells us not to treat others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. Taoism says we should regard our neighbor's gain as our gain and our neighbor's loss as our loss. But possibly my favorite actually comes from Wendell Berry, who put it this way: "Do unto those downstream as you would have those upstream do unto you." So think about this past year. Not the big stories of the life of the world that I just kind of quickly ran through, but the big stories in the life of you. Not just the ones that will make headlines, but also, you know, the little ones that touched you in some way. Not just the best of times, but also the worst of times. Not just the seasons of light, but also the seasons of darkness. I encourage you, before looking forward to 2017, take seriously this exercise of looking back on your 2016. And as you do it, do it with today's text as a filter, as a measuring block by which to see how you did. Ask yourself, maybe particularly in the worst of time moments, in the times I look back on and feel poorly about, the ones that I want to change, Did theology control my behavior, or did my behavior control my theology? And as you think about those moments, let's just hear the text that I'm asking you to measure them against again. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Now, if you believe that text adequately describes at least one way that theological living might look like, then ask yourself this question: is that you in the past year? Now, if you answered yes, that those were all you in the past year, I would like to suggest you're having a difficult time being honest with yourself. The reality is, we all fall short. No matter how good we are not always the people that we know we want to be. So again, thinking about today's text, is that your life in the past year? If you answered no, not completely, as I do, then I have another thing I'd like to suggest. I'd like to suggest that you make only one New Year's resolution this year. 2017 is a new beginning. So let's approach it with new vigor, new vitality, a new vision. The one New Year's resolution I'm encouraging each of us to make is this: to live more theologically in 2017. To let theology control our behavior more. Frankly, considering the course of our nation, at least the one it seems to currently be on, I can't help but think that it is going to be very important to have as many people acting theologically as we can. So the question is how? Well, there's a multitude of ways, but here's one good one. Ask God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful.